Conditions look like school holidays and the long weekend, and you guys are here, the best place to be. That is wonderful. So I want to start this morning by, you know, I think there's a lot of stuff that's challenging to most of us in terms of scripture and believing it, and what is easy to believe and what is not. You know, when we think about, when we start off right there in Genesis and God says he created the heavens and the earth and we are all made male and female in his image, you know, there's many things to talk about and argue about. Should you read Genesis through a scientific type of glasses, or is it just a story where the older people were telling us how things came to pass, or how these things work, or maybe the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, he was a normal person in many ways, just like us, you know, walking there in Galilee. So how does that work? And I guess there's someone testified just about God protecting him a few instances in his life. And then he said about they watched one of those Louis Giglio DVDs. Who of you have seen that? It's quite amazing to look at. Louis Giglio is a preacher, and he uses a lot about the galaxies and the stars and, you know, all this massive distances that the things are from each other to you know, give people a little bit of an idea how big God is and how these things work. I mean, just as in Scripture, many times we're starting to know and understand something, and then when you really start to understand a lot of stuff, you actually see you actually don't understand much. And especially about God, you know, it's not easy to say. None of us can say, I understand God completely. We've got everything about God. We can talk, tell it. We can give many, many attributes about God. We can explain and we know. But, you know, I use the example. I'm going to use Lloyd and Ronelle because I know they won't mind. But when they were young and they were dating, you know, or maybe they were engaged, you know, they already knew each other quite well. Yeah? And then what do you want to do? The more you start to know each other, the more you want to know each other, especially in that early time of your relationship. And hopefully after many years of marriage, you know, you still want to get to know the other person. And sometimes you discover something you didn't know. Amen? Amen. Okay, single people, that's how it's working and supposed to working. I see Jepson is having a good laugh there. Lily, are you discovering new things still from time to time? She says yes. Okay, so that's, then it's a given. A pastor said it and Hillary's confirmed it, so then that's the way it is. But you see, the same with the Lord. You know, we can read Scripture from the beginning till the end, and we can grow in it. We can grow in our understanding, thank you, about God and what he is and his heart towards his people. But we can't say we know everything, okay? And the way I'm going to start today, you know, it can be challenging, and I guess people that doesn't come from a believing background can say, yeah, but you know, and then we can fall into an argument. But I wasn't preaching last week. David was preaching, and even in that week before, you know, when I started reading Scripture, many times when something jumps in your face or you read the same thing everywhere from Ezra to the book of John, then you know God is trying to tell you something here. And I want to share something, I want to tell you something, and this is really what happened to me in the past week and a half. Everywhere I kind of read parts of Scripture, you know, I got the same message in a sense. So I want us all to walk through this. And I want to start off by reading to you guys from Acts 16, verse 3. And I called it In God's Hands. Because what is not in God's hands? I want you to interact a little bit maybe today. Is there anything that's not in God's hands? Or is everything in his hands? Everything is in his hands, okay? And do you believe, I don't want to make it too obvious, but is our hearts, our minds, and our understanding, is that in God's hands? Yes or no? I mean, can God have influence in that sense on how we think or what we see or what we don't see? Most people say yes. And we're going to see what Scripture says. So please read from with me Acts 16 from verse 13 to 15. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. After she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Just that part in verse 14 again. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. So, can God or can't God open someone's heart? Okay. How does it work? Does God push a button? Does he overrule your mind? How does this thing work, do you guys think? Okay. Or I can ask it from another angle. Who have you felt at a certain stage of your life or your walk with him, God opened up your heart or mind to see something? I see definitely a few yeses, and that's good. We'll lay hands on the rest just now. Don't stress now. But you see, God opened her heart, and to understand something, Paul was doing the preaching, God was using him, and she understood something, and then we see the gevolg, the consequence of that was she was baptized. Okay, so she was basically a Jewish lady. She already, served God as the Jews did, but she wasn't Christian yet, okay? So, and after her heart was opened, she became a believer. She came to believe in Jesus Christ, and then, you know, she came to salvation, she was baptized, and this, when I read this, it just like, boof, it was in my face. One of those things like, so God opened her heart, you know? And I'll give you example, the example that came to my heart when it happened. Obviously, it was quite a few times, I believe. But one time in my life, I remember very well in 2007. Now, I like camping, outdoors, Namibia, wildlife, those type of things. That's really close to my heart. I see Prisca laughing because I know she wants to hear a farm story now. But those are the things I really like, you know. I really enjoy it in life. And basically, by the end of 2006, me and my wife, we didn't have kids back then, and my father and my parents-in-law with a few other families, we were going on a 4x4 trip. We still lived in South Africa then, and we were going, or were to go, to Botswana, Okavango Delta, all those nice places. Everything seemed to work out. Now, I mean, that is the best holiday, I guess, I could have gone on at that stage of my life. That would have been awesome, you know. A lot of time in nature, doing something new. That I have never been in Botswana. That should have been, I guess, my number one option for a holiday. But as the end or start of 2007, that January, I remember, you know, I believe God opened my heart and he started to speak to me to go. I was also in Shofar Christian Church then in Stellenbosch to go with a mission team on missions. Okay? So then this battle starts. Who of you have experienced that battle? Maggie knows what I'm talking about. Where you really want to do something, car was booked, deposit was paid, it was confirmed with the whole family, leave was put in, everything necessary. Okay. So basically, to cut the long story short, is I really felt convicted that I should not go on that trip that would have been like the number one trip, basically, and rather go on missions. And I first thought about actually going to Zimbabwe or Malawi to you know, but at the end I felt I should go with the team to Nepal in Asia. Now, that's where people see the, in Afrikaans, there's a saying and it says, mense verloor hulle varkies, you know, I don't know what it's in English, but basically people thought, okay, slowly but surely, this young man, he's now in the sect of a church, now he's finally losing his mind. I mean, who wants to go to Asia? It's expensive, by the way. The church doesn't pay for individuals to go on missions. I mean, you pay for yourself, your trust, and stand in faith, okay? What's happening to this guy? I mean, but anyway, and you know, I actually then spoke to my dad, I spoke to my wife, and we canceled from our part. The rest of the people still go, but we canceled from our part, and I went on missions. And in those 2 weeks in Nepal, I probably grew more, learned more than sitting in 50 sermons in church, okay? Because I just knew I had to go. And I believe that was like this. It was one of those times in my life where God opened up my heart, because I never had a heart for missions when I was a younger Christian. I always thought, like, you can't shower and you're not going to eat all the time and it's this and that and, you know, the whole comfort zone thing. So, but at that stage, I thought, I knew in my heart, no matter what, I'll go. And it was such a blessing because I believe I was in God's will. Now, I feel at that stage, God really didn't blackmail me or spiritually blackmail me or anything like that or anyone else. I just knew I had to go. So in my heart and in my life, it was the right decision at that time. Okay? And I can almost relate to what I see happening here. I believe God was opening my heart to something new, a truth, okay, like going on missions that I haven't been opened, really open before. I mean, I wasn't against it. It just was like, it wasn't in my heart. And it's easy to say that, you know. Like Maurice, he will phone me maybe 6 o'clock in the morning and tell me, listen, let's go jog 5Ks. And I tell him, no, it's not on my heart. And then it's okay. You can say that, you know. Doof. But this is just to prove something here. And I want us to walk a little bit through Scripture, because I really see in Scripture that God supernaturally, I want to say, intervenes in people's lives, okay, to do something. And it's always for His glory. Well, everything God does is for His glory. It's never to spoil my trip to Botswana. By the way, it's now 2012 and I haven't been to Botswana still. But that's okay. I guess there will come a day maybe. So I also believe that in terms of opening our hearts, like this Lydia lady, to understand, we can kind of shut our own understanding by pride or sin or unhealthy love of money, or whatever it might be. Because sometimes you can get so focused on those things that you can, I mean, I'll be somewhere and I'll just know, like, that knock on the door type of a thing where I know God is telling me, okay, Carl, you have dreamt now enough about whatever it might be. It's now time, it's now me and you time. I think wives are also good doing that. They always tell you, like, now you must spend time with the kids or stuff like that. So that's not too hard for me, fortunately. But I think when you're a young Christian and an older one, you know, then you don't understand everything yet. Because when your eyes are still kind of closed, if you have got type of veils, you know, and maybe if you are not a born again yet, you will think about, why are people fasting for 2 days or for 5 days? It doesn't make sense. Or why does people give away things? I mean, in Scripture, it works a bit different than in the world. You know, Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And most people build high walls and fences and have bank accounts to collect stuff. And now Scripture comes and says, but it's more blessed to give than to receive. Or it says those who will lose their lives, you know, for Jesus' sake, you know, they will win it, and vice versa. So there's a few things here, but I want you to come to see with me. I'm going to go through a few chapters in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and I want us to see, because I believe, I'll end off with it, what is in it for us. So you can read with me from Luke 24, verse 44-45. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Okay? So here we have it again. Who opened whose mind? Jesus opened the disciples' mind. Because remember, when Jesus was starting his ministry and he was basically telling the people who he was and what he was doing, okay, the Jews and the Pharisees and most of those guys didn't believe him. They were like, what are this 33-year-old man telling us? He's now the Son of God. He's the Messiah. I mean, he grew up there in front of our eyes. It can't be. And they had a tough time to understand. And now here, it comes and we see here at the end of Luke, at the last chapter of the book, we see again, Jesus comes and he opened up their eyes to understand. He opened up their minds to understand. Okay? Now, I believe the words always echo here in my heart and in my spirit. I remember Pastor Sias, some of you might have seen him on some of our DVDs. He was the student pastor at Stellenbosch, and he's a lot involved with evangelism in Shofar, I remember he always told us, you know, before we read scripture, that we should pray, that the Lord should open up our hearts to understand what we read, okay? And he always said, you know, pray that God will show you Jesus. The Holy Spirit will show you Jesus. Because you can see Jesus basically from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus isn't just something that's caught up there in the Gospels. It's all throughout Scripture. From Isaiah, you can see it's been prophesied, and the road to salvation basically starts there in Exodus with God taking his people out of you know, slavery and captivity and taking them to the promised land. But here, so we, none of us can say we understand God completely. We know exactly how things work in terms of creation or scripture. We are all learning, okay? And this is really important to us. So I want to go a long way back in scripture. If we go to Exodus 7, verse 3, I'll read it to you. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. So it starts right there in 7 verse 3. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. So here we see the same thing now. It's a bit the opposite. It's not an opening. This is like a closing. God is hardening Pharaoh's heart. So once again, I almost want to ask you and us, so how does God basically, does he overrule Pharaoh's heart? Does he know how Pharaoh's mind works? And now he plays a few moves or something? Okay, and we know, remember, at that stage in history, Exodus is basically one of the first books in Scripture. No? So Scripture, there wasn't a Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. There wasn't all the other books. That was the basics. Okay, so Egypt were one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful land in the ancient world. Okay, did the people know about God, our God? No, they didn't. So God wanted to show Egypt who he is. Okay, now I won't walk to our president and just tell him, listen, you better take all these parking meters out of Windhoek streets, you know. I don't speak to the president like that, okay? Now, Moses, I mean, you just don't walk to the Pharaoh and tell him, listen, you let my people go, man. You know, you don't do that. That's dangerous to your life, okay? And God hardened Pharaoh's heart here because he wanted to be glorified by this. Because there wasn't the three plagues, there was the 10 plagues. And every time Pharaoh kind of said, yes, okay, you can go, and then obviously because he had a hard heart, he thought about it later and then he said no. And then the people had to come back. And so the 10 plagues, you know, it kind of get worse every time. Until the last one where the firstborn, the first son, was killed. Okay, and I mean, we all have kids, and whether it's a son or a daughter, that's bad. And I mean, if the firstborn, the son is, that was the next man to sit on the throne of Egypt. Okay, so that was a bad one. And then basically Pharaoh let them go, and he just said to Moses, listen, take your people and go. And then we know still even after that, they keep on persecuting the Israelites till they got to the Red Sea, and we all know the story that happened there. So God wasn't like spiteful, and he thought like, okay, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart just to be funny or just because I can do it. God wanted to be glorified, because what happened? Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, listen, this is what's going to happen. And then obviously it did happen. So I can't tell you it's going to rain in a half an hour and then it's going to rain. Okay? But if I come to you, which I'm not doing, but I'm come to you and I say, listen, God said it's going to rain in 30 minutes, and it's going to rain in 30 minutes in August in Windhoek, then you know it's from God. And this is what was happening here in the story of Exodus. Moses were basically representing God. He was telling the people or the Pharaoh what's going to happen, and then it's happening. So once again, we see this pattern of God almost interfering or overruling something, and that's why I said everything in God's hands. Okay? And I don't see in Scripture that God has changed or that we have changed. Okay? Everything still stayed the same. So that means God can still harden our hearts, or He can open our hearts, He can open our eyes, or He can open our minds. In Psalm 119, verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. Okay? So, here the psalmist is talking and he's saying, open my heart, that I can see who you are. We've got that beautiful song that most of you, that we sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, and then that we can see you. Okay? So that means there's definitely a place where hearts aren't opened always, where hearts are closed. And I mean, we all know, I mean, I'm praying for my family still. I'm praying for a lot of my family members who's got hardened hearts, whose eyes are closed. People that will say, and I've told you before, the one family member, when we talk about church or missions or setup or the worship team practicing on a Saturday or intercession on a Tuesday morning, he'll say to me, but man, you're having too much church. You know, you're having church all the time. But he doesn't yet get that place. I mean, when I wasn't a believer yet, you know, I read my Bible from time to time. But now, I don't want to read it from a place of guilt or something, you know, but when I don't read it, I miss it. It's like not seeing my wife or kids, you know, because there's a relationship. And those people still don't stand in that place of relationship, okay? So I want to encourage you already, you know, when you go to your inner room and you read Scripture or you worship or you pray, ask God to open your heart, like the psalmist. I want to see you. Open my eyes. I want to see. Obviously, in that time, he wanted to see from the law, the first books in Scripture. We've got the privilege today of having all Scripture, you know, and we can say, Lord, tell me about the end times. Tell me about the book of Revelation or Samuel or Jonah or whatever it might be. And then you all know how wonderful it is when we read, you know, many of us have probably read through Scripture. But when you read the book of Ephesians for the how manyth time, and something opened up that you have never seen before. It's like, wow, it's been here always, but you kind of always missed it. And now God is showing it to you, and He's probably showing it to you for a purpose. He wants to talk to you. And this was what's happening to me in the past week and a half, you know. I even, not by choice, but I went to the book of Ezra. I wanted to read something there, and I even got it there. I'll show you just now. So if we go a little bit on the Apostle John, He writes here in 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know this, that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Okay? So we can have understanding. And many times, as I said, when you don't have understanding yet, you might think like, why is this church now fasting for 3 days? Okay? Or why is someone fasting for a breakthrough in their own life? Why are they fasting? I mean, you've got teeth and a mouth and a tummy. That's, we're made to eat, in a sense. Okay? Why go now against that to fast? But I believe you guys here know why we fast. Okay? Jesus said in that one time when they asked Him about, you know, deliverance, He said, that sword only goes out by praying and fasting. Okay, and many times when we fast, we really tell God, listen, God, I'm serious about this breakthrough in my own life. I trust you for this. I'm going to fast, and I'm going to focus on you, and I trust that you will, that I'll get a breakthrough, that I'll get deliverance, or something of that. So, we should definitely ask God for understanding, to understand His kingdom, His Father's heart, His church, people, etc. Do you agree with me? Then what I actually stumbled upon, in a sense, is in Ezra 1, verse 1, the next scripture. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. And then you can read it on. The Lord stirred up his spirit. Now, what does that mean? in a sense, okay? It's like, I see it in the same sense as God hardening Pharaoh's heart, or like opening the disciples' ears to hear, or the lady's heart, or the eyes, okay? So who was doing it? It was God that did it. Now that's why I said, you can argue with me, or some might argue and say, when scripture says, but God stirred up his spirit, then you can say, yeah, but I mean, come on, you've got a free will, you can choose. So how do you mean God stirred up his spirit? Taking a big spoon, stirring it, how does it work? But we all know, sometimes God will lay something on his heart. He will talk to us about something. Maybe it can be by blessing someone. Maybe it can be by stop doing something. Sometimes something or someone is just so much on your heart that you know, I need to pray now for that person. God is showing me that person all the time, and it's not because I need to think of that person. I probably need to pray for that person or intercede for that person. And you probably all have heard many testimonies. While you're doing that, 2 days later, that person will tell you, listen, man, I went through the worst black hole in my life. And then that person probably came out of it because you were interceding. Okay? So scripture says the Lord stirred up the spirit. Okay? And in those days, I believe the kings were quite hard men. If the king said something, that's the way it was. Okay? If you don't agree with it, look at trouble. Okay? And basically, Cyrus, he said to the Israelites, listen, you can go. I'm blessing you. They even send them with not jewelry, but with gifts and stuff, that they can go and build the Lord's house again. Okay? That's supernatural. So it's God intervening here in a leader's house or a leader's heart, that the people can go and that they can serve God again in the way they're supposed to do it. Even a little bit later, we see in Ezra again, we see in Ezra 6 verse 22, Ezra 6 verse 22, and they kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them, so that he aided them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. And the key, once again it says, and he turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them. Okay? God can do that. I mean, I can go and give you more and more examples. You can go and find a lot in your own time, in your own quiet time. Okay? So once again I say, God didn't change, we didn't change. So what does that mean for us? I believe one of the things I feel the Holy Spirit is laying in my heart, you know, is that we as individuals, that we should ask God to take the veils away from our hearts or our eyes, that we can understand more, that we can see, that we can see what God wants to do in our lives, through our lives, with our lives. Okay? And then secondly, and that's actually more important in terms of what I feel in my heart. Okay? If God can stir up the king of a nation's heart, or he can harden the Pharaoh's heart, okay, we've got these examples to learn from. Then I believe we can pray and ask God to people with hardened hearts that they can become soft, or people with blind eyes that they can see, of people who are lacking understanding, you know, that it can change, that it can open, you know. And I see a picture of just like a flick of a finger, and God can do that. So I believe we as a church, we as believers, we are also called, you know, to intercede from the government to the municipality to the people in schools, people, married people, okay, wherever it can be, our families. I mean, I'm talking about my own family. You know, I'm trusting God for eyes to start to see, and for hearts to understand, and for minds to perceive. That the hardened hearts about, yeah, but the church just want your money, or, you know, this or that or whatever hurts people have, that it can go away. And I believe God called us to intercede and to pray for that. I'm going to almost start to end off with an example, probably one of the best examples. I mean, I guess the Apostle Paul, he's almost the example that we can use for everything. He's probably quoted and used for many examples, but this is so powerful. He in Acts 9 verse 17 to 20, you can read with me. I'm just going to skip verse 17 to 20. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. Okay, so this is a lot of stuff happening here in this part. Remember, Saul didn't like these Jesus people. Okay, what was Jesus was saying, what he was saying about himself, what he was saying about the Pharisees. I mean, I almost want to say, remember, Saul was like a royal Pharisee, a royal Jew. Okay, he came from the right bloodline, everything he had in favor in terms of being the right type of person. He studied the law and the Torah and those type of things. And now here, one of these believers, okay, he come, and it must have been very challenging for Ananias because Paul was on the Damascus road, I mean, to lock up Christians, to put them into jail, basically to bound them, okay. He had an official letter to do that. Okay, and now he's laying hands on Ananias, he's laying hands here on Saul, and then something fell from his eyes. Then he's spirit-filled, then he's baptized, and here in verse 20 it says, and then he proclaims about Jesus in the synagogue, I mean that's publicly, that he is the Son of God. Okay, now it's almost like saying, Harry, he's the Son of God in front of all these people. It must have been very challenging to the establishment of the day, okay? And it's all about the scales that's falling from his eyes. That means he regained his sight. And obviously, he did the right things. He got baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he said, listen, I mean, this Jesus and his followers I was persecuting, I'm acknowledging now, he's the Son of God. That's massive, okay? And it's the same for us. Many times, you know, we come and we kind of live a religious life and things, but the most beautiful thing is if you look like a DVD at, like, say, Angus Buchan, Faith Like Potatoes, he was a bit of a wild guy, a cowboy type of a person, and then he comes to salvation, and then you see, but this guy now, he wants to start preaching. He wants to tell people about the truth, about Jesus Christ, and that's what we see happening here. So it's like a spiritual blindness leaving here from Saul's eyes. And then obviously later he became Paul. And we all know that from experience, when you go and sit with someone and you argue about scripture, about spiritual stuff, you rarely gain something, okay? Because it doesn't really help to argue someone into becoming a Christian. That doesn't really work now. I've not heard many testimonies like that, okay? But it's that moment when someone kind of stand back and humble themselves and the scales fall, you know, they can say, but okay, I will pray with you the sinner's prayer, or I want to believe, or I want to be baptized, or I actually want to come for church to church in the first time in 20 years or something, you know, then you know a type of a blindness has gone. And I believe many people today are so blinded with New Age and politics and the things of this world, you know, that they can't see Christ. They can't relate to it. You know, it's like some people will tell you, yeah, but I read my Bible sometimes. That doesn't mean nothing. You can read your Bible, you can read any book, but you have to believe. Okay? So this is such a big example to me, and God definitely opened up his eyes there. Just as we see Pharaoh's heart was hardened, or Cyrus's heart were spirit was stirred up. So I can tell you this morning from Scripture that I believe God wants to open up hearts, and he wants to stir in our spirits, and he wants to give minds understanding. Okay? That we can see. Listen, God wants our time. I mean, it's the most silly thing if you're not a believer to look at Christians and think like, why do they want to go to church every week? And to intercession, and to small group, and to worship practice, and maybe to this, and to that. But your life changes, and then you are probably here, and that's why I joked about being hardcore Christians. I mean, it's school holiday, it's a long weekend, what do you want to do here? Go and have fun, go, and I mean, all our friends that are taking a break, I really believe that's the right thing as well. Going on a holiday or having a break is a good thing as well. We all need it. That's why there's winter time where the landscape all around us, the trees and the plants also sleep in a sense. There's night for us to sleep, okay? Except if you have small babies, then it's more challenging. But the thing is, okay, that we need to awake, okay? And then you start to see. Then you start to see, and I mean, then I remember the weirdest thing when I was a young believer was when I heard Christians talk about, you know, and then God showed me or the Lord said to me. I thought like, how can you say that? How can you say God was saying something to you? Okay, but I can say this morning, I feel really the Lord has laid it on my heart. I saw this open up and I have read Acts a few times before and it's alive to me. So I believe, I'm going to give all of us a little bit of time. You know, and then it's tough when you go to someone more mature and you ask that person, listen, how can you help me? Where's a blind spot in my life? Where do I need to grow? Or maybe it's like, let's take a golf coach. You know, you're playing golf and you're going to swing a few times and there's the coach sitting and now he's going to tell you, no, bend your leg like this and straighten your arm and do this and do that. Okay? So when you ask God, Lord, where is there still blindness in my life? You know, you need to prepare to hear the answer. Because God can tell you maybe, listen, my child, that thing in your life, it's still a bit big compared to me. Or maybe we need to open up your ears or your heart here that you can hear what I'm saying to you. Because you kind of hear it, but you shut it out all the time. And we are all guilty. As I said, not in terms of sin necessarily, but many times I catch myself daydreaming about certain things. I don't know. I like daydreaming. And then sometimes God will, or the Holy Spirit will just come and say, but okay, it's enough now. It's not wrong necessarily, but come here, come here. I had such a conviction. I preached a while ago about God is a jealous God, okay, a few weeks ago. And I tell you, so many times, it's so easy in the day to get busy. I like work, you know. It's so easy to get busy by doing things. And especially if in full-time ministry, it's dangerous because you can think doing things for the church. But that doesn't equal having a relationship with the Lord, okay? So many times you fall into that thing where you want to do all else. You want to work in the garden or you want to do this or that, send emails or do any type of work, you know? But God is a jealous God. He wants to be the first love. No married person, you know, want the other person to have five things. I remember once in our family, and it's a sad story, I heard someone say, listen, it's first me, and then my job, and then it's you. Okay, that hurts. That hurts a lot. Then there's a bad thing in the relationship. I think there was something else even. But, you know, that's sad. And God wants us to say, Lord, it's first you, and then all the rest. And so many times I know if I just open my laptop, you know, before I had quiet time, I will get 10 emails and I will send 20 and I'll quickly read the newspaper and I'll check the weather for the next 5 days or something. And then it will be 12 o'clock and then I'll have to go and fetch the kids at school and then still there was no talk, there was no communication. And I know it and I've discerned it and we must be so careful of that. The Lord will open our hearts. So this morning, if you are, I don't want to say if you're brave, but if you're willing to ask God, Lord, is there any spiritual blindness? Is there any blind spot, something I'm not seeing? Then be open because God wants to talk to you. And if there's something, and I'm raising my own hand here, He will show you. And then you need to be prepared and say, okay, I will switch off the television a bit more or do this or do that a bit less. In Psalm 146, verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Isaiah 35 verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Okay, and I see this in the natural because Jesus did those physical healings of the blind that could see or the lame that could walk. But I believe also about opening up people's eyes. Last time that I preached, it was about the parables, you know, and the disciples had to go back to Jesus, and they had to say to him, but please explain to us. Can I believe when we go to God and we say, and we come and sit at his feet in a sense, and we say, Lord, but explain this scripture, explain this thing. I had to sit with a man this week, and you know, he's so desperate, his cash flow is gone, and this and that, there's many challenges. And then I told him, listen, every time there's something bad, it doesn't mean it's because your faith aren't strong enough, or you're a sinner, or what about you did 10 years ago or 5 years ago, you know? That's not necessarily so, because when things are really smooth sailing, you can't say, but it's because my faith is so strong, or because I'm such a good Christian, or because I'm so clever. And sometimes we can make that mistake. So sometimes it's Job, you know, it's not always about doing something wrong. Sometimes we get tough situations, tough seasons, okay? And then the Lord learns us, he builds our character, he learns us to become men, to be strong. You know, sometimes, and there's a lot of adults here that will be able to tell you, you will tell people stories about your children, you know, and yeah, man, they woke up at 3 o'clock and then 3:30 and then 4 o'clock and 4:30. The adults, you know what I talk about? And then the people who haven't had kids before think like, phew, that's hectic. How did you survive that? Okay, and then you just say, no, man, we just did it and we were strong and stuff. Or you remember if you were the older brother in about grade 11, you took your maths book and you show it to your grade 4 brother and you say, yes, look how this thing is so thick. You know, we're going to work through this year. And you kind of show off a little bit. But the fact is, when things are tough, it's not always God punishing you. Okay, we should understand that. We should know that. But we shouldn't be blind. Okay, we should be able, we should ask God for understanding. What's happening now in my life, Lord? Lord, what do you want me to learn? Where do you want me to grow? What do you want me to see? Because so many times these things are happening, and then you are blaming the government and you're blaming the economy and yourself and your wife and whatever. And it's not going to help you anything. I believe the gospel brings understanding to our hearts. God wants us to understand kingdom things. And I want to say actually that I believe kingdom stuff are not for the guys with 3 degrees or anything. It's basics. But the Jews, the Pharisees, stumbled upon these things because it was so basic, you know. It can break your mind to think, but how can it make sense that it's more blessed to give than to receive? But go and do it. Give something nice away. And if you do it with the right heart and attitude, you will feel freer. You'll feel more or less, you will feel less attached to some material things. It's just like when you don't tithe, maybe, and you start to do it. It's hard at the beginning, you know, but gradually it becomes easier. And then after a while you see, but it's a good thing, you know, and you get into a place, and then God can almost release your heart, and you can start to give an offering and alms. And maybe if that guy works for just 7 hours, washing your car or doing whatever, and you should just give him $10, maybe you can give him 15, just because it's nice to give. Bless him as well. Those type of things. So I wanna ask you guys this morning, I'm just going to give a bit of quiet time, and I know it's going to be quiet in here. But if you are willing, if it's on your heart this morning, ask the Lord, where's there like a maybe bit of spiritual blindness? Is there any spiritual blindness? And you can ask, Lord, open my heart, open up my mind, my eyes to see around me. Many times you'll drive past the person begging and you won't even see it. Okay? Maybe there's stuff that God wants to show you. And then you must be a man in terms of saying, okay, Lord, I'm willing to work on this. And if you say that and you humble yourself, God will come and he will help you. Okay? So I'm just going to give you a bit of time. And then afterwards, I just want us to end, you know, and it's something we all know. But I really want you guys, you've heard many times, make a little bookmark, put it in your Bible and write 3 or 4 names there. Pray about those names and ask God, Lord, that person with that hard heart, that doesn't see, that doesn't hear, that doesn't understand. It seems like those persons are never going to come to salvation. Okay? But people only come to salvation because other people pray for them. Okay? Pastor Fred always says, well, we have said before, you know, every one of us, there's somewhere there's a grandmom or some old lady praying for you. And that's why you get born again when you're 20. Someone's praying for you. It's not because you're clever or smart. Okay? So go and ask God, Lord, I stand on Scripture. Just as you have opened King Cyrus's, or you stirred up his spirit, or this lady Lydia, as the Lord has opened her heart, Lord, I trust you. I see it in Scripture. Open that person's heart. Bring healing, bring salvation, whatever it can be. I'm going to keep quiet now, and then I'm just going to give us a minute or three. And then speak to God about this thing in your heart and life. Amen. Amen. Without putting anyone on the spot, is there anyone that felt actually something on their hearts that the Holy Spirit has showed them? You don't have to share it. Just raise your hand if you feel something that you feel the Lord has showed you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. That's just precious. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, that when we ask, Lord God, with the right heart, Lord, that you'll show us, Lord God. And I pray that all of us, Lord God, as we are sitting here, maybe you haven't showed us something right now, Holy Spirit, but I believe and I trust and I pray, Lord, that as the day go on, Lord, or in this week to come, that you'll show us, whether we are driving or at work, that you'll show us in our hearts, Lord, where there's blindness, where there's scales that needs to fall off, Lord God, and whether it's about seeing people around us or praying for them, Lord, for our hearts to be open. Father, we want to say this morning, Lord God, that we want to see you, Lord God, and we want to see the truth, Lord God, and we want to see, when we read Scripture, Lord, please show us Jesus, Lord. Please show us about Jesus and what he has for us, Lord. And I want to ask, Father God, that as that song go, Lord God, that you'll open up the eyes of our heart, that we can see you, Lord God, that we can know you, that we can just grow more intimate in our relationship with you, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord God, that in this week to come, Lord, that you'll lay people on our hearts, Lord God, people to pray for, to intercede for, Lord. Thank you that we can stand on your word. And I believe with all my heart, Lord, that if you could harden Pharaoh's heart or stir up King Cyrus's heart, the rulers of nations, Lord, that you are still doing that today daily, Lord God, all around us. And I pray, Lord God, that we will intercede where we think there's a nut that's too tough to crack, Lord God, that you'll give us the faith, Lord God, that you'll give us this grace gift, Lord God, of understanding, as in James, that our hearts can see, Lord, and that you'll show us who to pray for and what to pray for, Lord. And I trust you for testimonies, Lord God, for people, Lord God, that will just change, Lord God, people that will come into your kingdom because their eyes are opened, Lord. I pray for this city of ours, Lord God, where there's so much brokenness and hurt, Lord God, and violence and deception and theft. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that hearts will be open to your word, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that you can come into people's lives and that they can change, Lord God, like the Apostle Paul, Lord God, that he can come, or that people can come and say, but you are the Son of God, Lord. And we believe, Lord God, that you created the heavens and the earth, Lord. And Lord, that you are still doing it, Lord God. That you are still saving people, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name, Lord. And I also want to pray for all our family members that's not here today. Everyone that's going to be on the roads, either today or tomorrow, driving in Namibia, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you'll protect, Lord God. Just as we heard the testimony in the previous service, about, Lord, protecting someone's vehicle, Lord. I pray that our friends and brothers and sisters will drive safely, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I just want everyone to stand quickly and just close our eyes. And I think it's for someone specific here today. So as just as God spoke, I just want us all to close our eyes. I just want you to focus on God and just look at your own life, because I think there's something that's really relevant for somebody here specific. And God just showed me that all our hearts is basically, from our birth, our hearts are closed to God. It's like it cannot accept what the Word of God, it cannot accept. And God just showed me this closed heart is like a flower. And this flower is just closed because it wants to protect itself, because there's something precious inside. And it just wants to protect itself against this world. It just wants to close and keep closed. And the only thing that will open up that flower is the love and the beauty of God. And it's so, my biology fails me, but I think only flowers only open once the sun shines in it. And it's just something that God showed me now, that when His love just draws the people, it allows people to open up themselves. And when people start experiencing His love, our hearts start open. When we see His beauty, when we see His love, when we experience it, we start opening towards Him. And I believe there's some people here today that their hearts are closed because they've not experienced this love. They've not experienced this beauty of God. Because so many times we look at this world and think it reflects God. What is it all about? We see it, how ugly it is. We see, when in fact we should actually look to the God of this world and see the beauty of God in this world. So if that's you, you're having a difficulty to open up your heart towards God, I just want you to raise your hand quickly. I just want you to raise your hand and just say, God, that is me. I just want to open my heart towards you. I just want you to be that beauty, to be that love, to be that everything for me. Just want you to acknowledge God for that, because we as person, we as people can't, we aren't able to fill that place. We aren't able, because we learned in foundations that God basically draws the people. The Holy Spirit convicts them. Jesus saves them, and we must just love them. So if that's you, just raise your hand. And I just want you to come to the front now as well. We just want to pray for you. And I mean, there's something that we can't do as people. There's something that God has to do when He, just as Carl said, now He opens up their heart. He can close it as well. And I think the closing of the heart is not so much that He closes it. He basically just steps back and let that beauty and that love, just as the sun fades away, that beauty just closes automatically, because it's just a protection. And it's just like a sunflower as well. The sunflower's head, it's always pointing towards the sun. For some reason, I don't know the biology behind that, but it's just an amazing picture of how God's love is as well. If you follow the sun, you will always be open. You will always be able to see that beauty and experience that beauty. Amen.
Okay, friends, so thank you for being here today. Must have a lovely afternoon. If there's anyone here this morning and you feel you either need to respond to the word that Ronald has or to this word that you feel you're battling with your heart, maybe it's still closed and God can't come in or anything like that, we will stay behind. Please come to us. We would love to pray with you. And I believe God wants to set people free in that sense, because many times we want our hearts to be open and we want to see, but it's like that brick wall. You just can't get it right. And I know in my own life, I've been fighting with some of those stuff. So if you feel it's for you, we're going to stay behind here. We would love to lay hands on you and to pray with you, because that's what I believe we should do. For the rest of you guys, have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Relax a bit. Have a wonderful day tomorrow. It's a public holiday. Relax. I also said, and I believe we should take a break and chill a little bit. So whatever you do, do it and enjoy it. And we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Thank you. Thank you.